Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, the third chapter. Page 1194 in your Scofield Bible. Beginning with verse 10, we'll read responsibly through verse 18. And then we'll turn to yet another passage after that. The first, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, page 1194. And let's stand, please, as we always do, for the reading of the Word of God. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. Let's read the 18th together. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Turn now to the 8th Psalm. Psalm 8, page 602, your Scofield Bible. And we'll read all this psalm, and we'll read the verses responsively. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest fill the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this great church. Those of us who have been here all evening from the time of the presentation by our Miles Anderson groups will be touring until this hour, and even before that, seeing the things made by our young men, our high school, the fellowship hall, and to realize all that's going on these days, how rich we are, how blessed we are, how we thank thee and praise thee for this great church and for all of its many, many facets and ministries. Thank you for our leader, for our preacher. We pray that you bless now the preaching. And may we be maybe just a little extra attentive tonight. It's not always easy to listen, but it's wise. Help us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen.
You listen very carefully. I'll be very surprised if my sermon is over 30 minutes long tonight, but I often surprise myself. So I will be very surprised if my sermon is more than 30 minutes. I ask you to listen carefully, and I want to speak tonight on a very unusual title. This is the season of the year of resumes. Resume, for those of you who don't know what one is, it's for those of you that wouldn't want yours known. It is a list of your life work, where you've worked, where you've been educated, your background, for the consideration of an employer who might be interested in employing you. And I know that I've seen 50 of them in the last 2 weeks, and others of you are preparing yours, some of you college students preparing your resume for you to send out so that folks can know that you're available to become the next Billy Sunday and Benedict Arnold and so forth. But I want to speak tonight on the subject of my resume. The first illustration I'll give after I pray deals with the organization we call the Brownies. It is an organization, a form of the Girl Scouts. I think it's the younger group called the Brownies. I want to talk to you tonight on my resume, our Heavenly Father. I want to thank you for my wonderful resume. I want to thank you for my standing in Christ tonight. And I'm going to just rejoice for a while at your goodness. And I hope that somebody here, several somebodies, will join me in applying my resume to theirs because they're much alike. Bless the service now and your son, your simple servant as he speaks. Amen. I'm sure that all of you are acquainted with the famous Taft family in Ohio, a family that has turned out numbers of men of renown, people of renown. One of the Taft family was President of the United States, and so forth. Martha Bowers Taft, one of the members of that family, when she was a little girl, she went to school for the first day, and they were giving their resume, as it were, to the class. And Martha Bowers Taft, as a little girl, stood and said, "My name is Martha Bowers Taft. My great-grandfather was President of the United States. My grandfather was United States Senator. My father, my daddy, is an ambassador to Ireland, and I am a Brownie." She was proud of what she was. And let me tell you tonight what I am and who I am. First, may I admit some things on my resume. I must admit that I am a sinner. I must admit that I'm not righteous. I confess that there's nothing good as God's goodness is concerned about me. The righteousness that I do have is like filthy rags, the Bible says in Isaiah 64:6. Those filthy rags being the rags that were leprosy rags, stationed or placed in public places like we have water fountains and restrooms, for the leper to stop and wipe the corruption from his body that was oozing out from his sores. I am not righteous. And even my righteousness and the good things that I do compared to God are like filthy rags. My throat is an open sepulcher, like dead men's bones. With my tongue I have used deceit. The poison of asp is under my lips. Destruction and misery are in my ways. My heart is desperately wicked. My feet run to evil. I have gone astray. I have turned to my own way. There is no judgment in my goings. I have walked crooked paths. That which I want to do, I often don't do. I want to do right, but I find myself not doing the right that I want to do. I do not want to do wrong, but I find myself often doing the wrong that I would not do. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I'm the chief of sinners. O wretched man that I am, When I walk to do good, present is evil is present with me. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I went astray as soon as I was born, speaking lies and hypocrisy. I have gone out of the way. I have become unprofitable. I deserve to burn in hell forever. I cannot walk uprightly. I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I am carnal, sold under sin. I'm undeserving. I'm depraved. I'm weak and worn and weary. But don't leave yet. Wait. Don't count me out yet. I'm really somebody. You see, my sins are blotted out. The very sins that I enumerated to you a while ago have been forgiven. Those sins have been covered. Those sins in the mind of God have been forgotten. Buried in the deepest sea. As far as the east is from the west, so He has removed my sins from me. He's put those sins behind His back. And on my resume, I hasten to say that I'm really somebody. You see, God is mindful of me, as we read a while ago. That means God thinks about me. It's wonderful that I'm on the mind of God. He thinks about me. He visits with me, the creator of the universe, the God of gods and King of kings, fellowships with me. And He enjoys it and wants me to fellowship with Him. He invites me for an audience with Him any time that I want to go. He made me a little lower than the angels. He crowned me with glory and honor. He made of me to have dominion over the work of His hands. He's put all things under my feet. All sheep and oxen, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas, He has placed under my feet. And by the way, in my resume, may I remind you that I'm the only one like me. There's never been anybody like me before. There'll never be anybody like me again. Since God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, under the last person that's born and lives on this earth, there'll never be another one just like me. He reminded me that there have never been two snowflakes alike of all the snowflakes that have fallen in history. No two have ever been exactly alike. He reminded me of all the leaves that have ever been on the trees of the world. Not any two have ever been exactly alike. He reminded me that not any two grains of sand on the beaches of the world have ever been exactly alike. That means that I am a designer's model. I'm an original. There never has been anybody just like me, but that isn't all. I was made by God Himself. I was made in the image of God. I am the object of His love. I was made not only by God, but I was made for God. I was not made just to make a living. I was not made just to live and have fun and pleasure on this earth. I was made uniquely for my God. He wanted someone to fellowship with Himself. He made someone that could love Him, return His love, and praise Him, and honor Him, and glorify Him. I was made for that purpose. I am the ultimate of God's creation. I look at the robin and say, how magnificent is God's creatures, are God's creatures. I look at the birds that fly in the sky and the fish that swim in the sea and the beasts that roam the field, and I realize all that God has made, and yet I am the ultimate of all of God's creation. Everything else was made for me. The gardenia with its scent was made for me. The rose with its loveliness was made for me. The mountains with their majesty were made for me. The great trees, the redwood trees with their powerful trunks were made for me. The star that sparkles in the evening time like a diamond in the sky was made for me. The sun that rises in the morning and sets in the evening and makes its course like a bride coming out of her room to circle the globe was made for me. The lesser light that rules the night, the moon, was made for me. The lakes, the oceans, the ponds, the rivers, they all were made for me. The maple, the oak, the fir, all were made for me. I'm a priest. I'm an heir of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a part of a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. He made me for a particular task. He had a job to do. He wanted that job done. He did not look down one day and see me and try to figure out what to do to keep me busy. He didn't look at me and say, I wonder who he is. I'm no uh-oh with God. I'm on purpose with God. God looked down one day and said, I need somebody in 1959, August, the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. And I need somebody to stand behind that pulpit for nearly 35 years. And I need somebody to start a college and a high school and a junior high school and a grade school and a bus kid school. And I need somebody to lead that great church for almost 35 years. And God said, I need somebody 5'11" and a half inches, 3/4 inches tall. I need somebody who weighs about 190 pounds. I need somebody who is the pastor of that church. And God made me uniquely like nobody else has ever been made with this one particular task. I'm a designer's model. I'm an original. He knew me before the foundation of the world. He saw me before the foundation of the world. He saw that I would trust him and decided to justify me before the foundation of the world. He saw me before the world's foundations were laid and decided to glorify me even before there was ever a world or planet. He loved me before the foundation of the world. He loved me before Paul started the churches in his missionary journeys in Asia Minor. He loved me before John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, dressed with camel's hair and eating locust and wild honey. He loved me. He loved me before the temple was ever built in Jerusalem. He loved me before David ever sat on the throne. He loved me before Moses went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. He loved me. He loved me before there was ever a world, before there was ever a planet, before there was ever a sun, the moon, the stars, the night. He loved me. Hey, don't sell me short. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my older brother. I chose to sin. I chose to do wrong. And I was given the wages of sin, according to Romans 6:23. But let me tell you what he did for me. He saw that I was a sinner. He did not want me to go to hell. He had to send me to hell because I had sinned unless something could be done. The price must be paid. He will not let sin go unpunished for it. God will let sin go unpunished. God would not be God. He'd topple from his throne, lose his crown, lose his scepter. He stripped of his robe, be taken from his throne. He would no longer be God. And God decided he'd lay aside his royal robes of heaven and come to earth and condescend to be a man. Let me tell you how much he loved me and what he did for me. He came as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. For me, angels sang glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. It was for me that shepherds watched their flocks by night and hastened to the manger of Bethlehem and worshipped him, the Christ child. It was for me that wise men came from the east with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh.
It was for me that Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. It was for me that God became incarnate, clothed with human flesh. It was for me that he was reared in Nazareth. It was for me that he was hated. It was for me that he spent 33 homesick years away from the Father and the adoration of angelic hosts and golden streets and gates of pearl, river of life and the tree of life, all for 33 years were unknown to him. For me, that's on my resume tonight. It was for me that he suffered. It was for me that he had no place to lay his head. It was for me that foxes had their holes and birds had their nests, but the Son of Man had no place to go to rest at night. It was for me he was excommunicated by his own synagogue, kicked out of his own city, hated by his own race, rejected by his own creation. It was for me that he came into his own, and his own received him not. It was for me that he was led to a hypocritical trial. It was for me that false witnesses came and accused the Son of God of having sinned. He in whose mouth was never an evil word. He who in whose mind was never an evil thought. He whose feet never walked an evil path. He whose hands never touched an evil thing. He who was God incarnate, lived a lonely, homesick life, despised, rejected of men. It was for me. That's on my resume. It was for me he went before Pilate and Herod Caiaphas. It was for me he was declared guilty. It was for me that he allowed Pilate to wash his hands as if he could wash his hands of the guilt of the Savior. But nobody can wash his hands of the guilt of the Savior. The only thing that can wash your hands of the guilt of the Savior is the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It was for me he was delivered to the soldiers. It was for me he was beaten with a cat of nine tails. So the Bible says you couldn't even tell that his body was a human being's body. It was for me that he was nailed to Calvary. It was for me he bore the nails in his hands and feet. It was for me that he had the King of Kings had no throne but a cross. And no crown but a crown of thorns. And no scepter but a borrowed soldier's walking stick and no robe of royalty but a borrowed overcoat from a soldier. It was for me that the Son of God dipped his own soul in the torments of the damned and suffered the hell that I ought to suffer. And all the sum total of all the hell that all mankind ought to suffer. It was for me that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was for me that he lay in the grave for 72 hours, 3 days and 3 nights. It was for me that he rose triumphantly over death and put his feet on the neck of the devil and destroyed death and conquered hell and destroyed the devil. That was for me. It was for me that he ascended back to the Father. It was for me that he sits tonight on the right hand of the Father as my intercessor, my go-between, my advocate, my daysman, my lawyer, my attorney. He sits tonight pleading my case and pointing the blood that's on the mercy seat which covered my sins. It will be for me that he will come in the clouds of glory. The trumpet will sound for me. The angelic voice will cover the heavens for me. The dead in Christ shall rise for me. Those who are living shall rise and be caught up with them and meet the Lord in the air for me. I will ascend in the air and Jesus will come again for me. Crowns will be made for me. The bridegroom and the bride and the marriage of the Lamb and the wedding feast is for me. He's coming back to the earth to put down the Antichrist for me. He's going to establish a kingdom on earth for 1,000 years for me. He'll rule and reign wherever the sun does its successive journeys run.
His kingdom shall spread from shore to shore. The moon shall wax and wane no more for me.
The end of that kingdom, he will look up and see the new Jerusalem, the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for his angel, for her lover, for me. He's made golden streets for my feet to walk on. He's made gates of pearl where my body can enter. He's made a city where there's no death, no sickness, no hospitals, no cancer, no tuberculosis, no AIDS, no heart attacks, no pain, no sorrow, no tears, no war, no cursing, no Hollywood, no filth, no X-rated movies, no PG-rated movies either, by the way. In a city where Jesus shall be the light thereof, and there's no need for electricity, the brightness of his person will fill the entire city. And that city is for me. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I'm converted. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I'm preserved. I'm reserved. I've been elected, adopted, forgiven, accepted, quickened, regenerated, foreknown, indwelt. That isn't all. That isn't all. He then asked me to spread for him this good news. He who could have chosen birds to sing the gospel story as they fly through the air. He who could have caused the clouds to form the gospel and print the gospel across the sky. He that could cause the wind to whistle the gospel as it came through branches of the trees. He who could have caused the flowers to show forth the gospel. He who could have sent angels from heaven to sing the gospel story as they announced the coming of the Christ child to the shepherds who watched their flocks by night. He passed by the angels, passed by the clouds, passed by the wind, and said, I want redeemed people to tell the story of redemption. He lives in me. You're a book of instructions for me. He planned every detail of my life. He feeds me. He clothes me. He leads me. My name is written on the palm of his hand. And with the very hand on which my name is written, he holds me and keeps me safe. I am regenerated, reborn, renewed, and released from sin. I'm Jack Frazier Hines. My home is in heaven. My Father is the creator of the universe. My elder brother is the high priest, and I am a Christian. And every single person tonight in this room who's a child of God has the same resume that I have. The first half of my message reminded us that we're not worthy of anything. We're as sorry as can be. The last half of my message told us what God, the standing that God has made us, through his payment of Calvary. I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I'm going to serve him. You may decide you're going to go your own way, eat, drink, be merry, live it up, live for pleasure, live for joy, live for excitement, live for thrill, drink your liquor, watch your daily television programs, movies on television, bring your videos home, go to the hell holes of the world. You may decide you're going to listen to your dirty rock music. I don't know what you're going to do, but praise God, if God has taken what a dirty sinner I was and given me a resume like he's given me, I'm going to serve him until I die. And then I'm going to praise him forever. I'm not going to rub his name in this sewer. I don't know all of his story, but I read it one time many years ago. A king's son, a prince, escape the palace because he always wanted to play with the boys. You'd see him playing, and he'd always want to go out and play with the commoner boys. One day this king's boy escaped the palace and went out to the play with the common boys. There was emergency called in the palace halls. Where is the son of the king? Where is the prince? They've all went out to play with the children of commoners. Those on his team asked him to cheat. He said, I can't cheat. I'm the king's son. They asked him to say some bad words. He said, I can't say bad words. I'm the king's son. They asked him to participate in some shady conversation and stories, and he said, I can't do that. I'm the king's son. I'm the king's son. So am I. That's my resume. It can be yours. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for my resume. I thank you that the first part was pretty bad because that's my part. I thank you that the last part's wonderful because that's your part. And I pray tonight you'd help me to give myself anew to him who made that last part possible. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I pray tonight you'd help us to give our lives to you till our faces, till our eyes see you, and our voices praise you in eternity. May we survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, and may our riches gain be counted loss and pour contempt on all our pride. Help us to serve you until we see you.